This tape is about vampirism, a most fascinating subject that is a hidden phenomenon, but it's everywhere, and it's a feature of life on Earth. It touches every aspect of life, all personal relationships, business relationships, political systems. And, you know, you probably know people who just kind of nibble on other people, on their energy, and we all do it to some extent to others. It's involved somewhat with the concept of karma, and at the same principle holds, which is as you work on yourself and develop yourself, you overcome the karma, and you also overcome the problem of vampirism. And some of the things we'll look at on this tape are the five stages of a person's etheric development, which is sort of spiritual development, well, it is spiritual development, and how they affect this energy exchange between people, how the energy level affects it, how people draw energy off of other people, how to offset it and cure it. And then we'll focus on the sexual arena because it's a real big thing there. And then sort of conclusion. So let's begin with the five stages of etheric development because these explain a lot. At birth and early life, early childhood, the chakras or energy centers are what we call closed. That is, they are small, maybe 1.5 to 2 inches across, and maybe 2 to 3 inches long. They're little funnel-shaped vortices of energy. And they spin correctly at birth. And they spin quite evenly and smoothly. And the system is delicate, though, sensitive, the young child, and therefore easily upset. And when they're upset, they give up energy. And so young babies and children are frequently victims of vampires. They don't vampirize, but they are victims. And it's an unfortunate thing, but it's a reason that many people have children in the first place. When someone tells me they want to have someone to love, you know, you know, you don't have to have children if you just want someone to love. There's millions of people out there that could use love. So, but children are dependent, and they're very easy to vampirize. Now, what happens is, as children are vampirized, or as we grow and different kinds of traumas occur, the chakras begin to spin backwards. They remain closed, but they begin to spin backwards. And most everyone, by the time they're, say, 10, 8, sometimes much younger, the chakras are spinning backwards. And this is the condition of most adults, too, especially men. Women, for different reasons, move ahead of the men a little bit into their spiritual development. Now, these folks are also very easy to vampirize in general. And so that's another stage, though, of development. The next thing that happens is what we might call ego development. And this is the self-will, and it's associated with backward spinning chakras, the ego. And as that develops, these closed and backward spinning chakras gain speed and intensity. And by the way, the backward spin is a form of dying. And if you want to vampirize someone, you get their chakras spinning backwards. And some people get quite good at this. Of course, they don't know that consciously, but that's it. And the ego mind is associated with this. It is a form of death, of dying. And these people are the ones that make the vampires. This is the stage of development, which really all people go through, in which one vampirizes. Now, not everyone does it to the same degree. The more spiritually evolved a person is, and this is something you're born with, sort of more spiritual potential, the less you act the part of the vampire. Although everybody does it to some extent. You may do it in one arena and then be victimized in another arena. In other words, there are many arenas. There can be a family arena, and then someone can go to... I mean, an obvious situation is a kid who, at home, his parents give him a hard time, and so he's a victim there. You know, they really rough him up and push him around. And so then he goes to school and becomes the bully, and he pushes other kids around. I mean, that's an obvious case, but there are many of them. There are people who are little whimpering pussycats at home, and then they're mean, nasty lawyers, you know, or businessmen. There are people who are the opposite. They're the good corporate, you know, worker who does exactly what the boss says, but then they go home and they fight with their wife or their husband, you know, and you know, abuse the kids. So there are different realms of the way this works. Okay, so the third stage is this ego development. The chakras are still closed and spinning backwards, but they gain speed and intensity. And these are the people who are able to vampirize because the speed and intensity of their chakras does interact either directly, meaning through direct contact, meaning close contact with other people, or at a distance. And it works at a distance because there's energy fields. And your energy field is actually quite large, infinite, actually, the field that surrounds us and permeates us. So you can have situations, for example, rock stars or these athletes who the star, they're actually vampirizing the people. You know, the people pay all this money, and then they get kind of put into this hypnotic trance, and the star is in charge. Same thing happens on a basketball court. These people get paid $1 million, and the people are just sitting there shouting their heads off. And really, the people give up the energy. It also happens in things like religious ceremonies and services, where the church collects all this money. The church gets the power, and the people get the feeling. And it is a vampire type situation. And the people are basically just deceived. They think they're being saved or whatever it is. So anyway, it's the ego development. Those folks are the ones that do the vampirizing. And as I say, we all go through this and are to some extreme, or to some extent in this stage at times. Now the next stage is what we might call early etheric development. And what happens here is that the chakras, those who go here, which is about 5 to 10% of the population, the chakras begin to spin correctly. And this happens when you begin to eat well and take care of yourself, improve your lifestyle, your thinking improves, certainly by doing certain practices, meditation and things. The chakras will begin to spin correctly. Also, you begin to process all that trauma from childhood and release it, let it go. They also start to open. They start to get bigger. Now, these folks also make good victims because they're kind of delicate. And this happens in relationships often where one person will begin to develop and their chakras start to spin forward, but then during a sexual encounter, the other person, who's often the stronger one, will cause this person's chakras to go backwards again. And that just does not feel good. And they know there's something wrong. And so, but they can be vampirized easily because they're sort of starting to change. And because the chakras are larger, these people are more affected by those around them, and they become sensitive. They become more sensitive in situations and places, for example, they live, that they thought were fine. All of a sudden, they may not think they're so fine anymore because they become more aware and sensitive. The fifth stage is a state of what we might call advanced etheric development. And there, the chakras are all spinning correctly, and they're full. That means they're large. And as you get this way, one becomes more connected with one's God self, higher self, etheric body, and then one becomes less vulnerable to the entire vampire victim scenario. And by the way, maybe I shouldn't use the word victim, because I don't really believe there are victims. In a sense, everyone chooses, because we choose to be here. We choose to be on this planet, so this is part of this planet. And it is sort of part of the food chain. The physical life is a food chain, just like the lions and the tigers eating the little lambs and the lambs eating the grass and the whole thing. There is a food chain of the physical life. The spiritual life has totally different rules, but the physical life has a food chain kind of thing, survival of the fittest, and often most cunning, unfortunately. And so this is part of the physical existence on the planet here. So the fifth stage, one becomes much less vulnerable. I'm not there myself, but I'm definitely getting there. I'm definitely better. And what happens is one becomes more aware when the process is happening. I mean, quickly, often within seconds or minutes, because you suddenly get a headache or you feel strange around someone or some situation, and you know instantly. You don't have to get all run down and just say, gosh, what was that all about, or waste 5 or 10 years in a relationship. It happens much quicker the more developed you become, because in essence, you're not part of that system, and so when you are affected by it, you feel it. But those are the five stages. I'll review them quickly. At birth and very early childhood, the chakras spin correctly in almost all cases, and unless a child has been traumatized in the womb, very, very unusual cases. And the chakras are closed. That means they're small. And these folks are easily affected by vampires. Maybe that's the best way to do it. They easily are part of that. Almost every child, after a little while, the chakras change direction and go backwards. Very rare to see that it's not happening. They remain closed. Again, in that case, they are also still easily affected by the people around them, the adults and the parents and the teachers and all the people, and the other kids too. The third stage is what we might call ego development. And here the chakras are still closed and still backwards, but they gain speed and intensity. And the ego is the self-will. And these folks start to take energy from others. The basic way it works is either you take energy from others, which is the food chain, the dog-eat-dog world. I love that phrase. The rat race, Either you do that or you tune into a spiritual source. You don't have any other choice. One person described us as like a railroad car that doesn't have any power. It has to be hooked up to an engine. Something has to pull it along. And so our two engines are either the world's energy or this sort of spirit energy, which we can reach. But we have to reach up for it and reach out for it and ask for it. But if you do it, you will get there. The techniques will be brought to you and so forth. Meditation, the right kind of meditation, is a big one, certainly, and changing your thoughts around. So anyway, the third stage is the ego development. That's the development of the will, the self-will, not God's will. And these folks become vampires. They find it easy. The egos fight and control and dominance and all these kind of issues, power struggles. That's all about the ego. The fourth stage is what we might call early spiritual development. Here the ego weakens. The self-will begins to be replaced by thy will, or God's will, or the higher will, the real self. And what happens is that as this occurs, the chakras begin to spin forward, some of them usually, and they begin to open. That means they get larger. And these folks also become more vulnerable to the vampire process because they're not set and strong in their new way. And especially if they can continue their old habits, whether it's old habits of living, old habits of relationship, then it's very easy for someone who's stronger. Usually it's the physically weaker ones that open up, by the way. Because if you're too strong and happy and doing well, you just usually stay in your ego life. Why change? You're having a great time. So usually the people who open up are the weaker ones, the sick ones, the unhappy ones, because they're looking. They're saying, you know, life is not working for me. I have to find something else. But those people are usually not the strong ones. And what happens is, certainly in relationships, the strong one always wins. So these folks are vulnerable. And then the fifth stage is this advanced spiritual development where you're firmly sort of attached to your higher self or the God source, this other source of energy. And then you become less vulnerable to the vampire type of process. Okay. Now, how does the vampire get the energy off of the victim? The way it's done is through either intimidation or seduction. Or flattery, you know, seduction, flattery, something like that. And there are thousands of specific ways, but the basic concept is that you take the person out of their center. That's the basic thing. And if you, I mean, think about it. If you're out there just sitting, minding your own business, enjoying yourself, say, how would a person take you out of your center? Let's say you're feeling centered. Well, one way is to threaten you. You know, that'll throw you off. Either physically threaten you, verbally threaten you. The preacher threatens you that if you don't do this, you'll go to hell. The politician threatens you that if you don't elect me, the country's going to go down the tubes. The doctor threatens you. He says, you know, you better do this or, you know, you're going to die, whatever. It happens in a million ways. The teacher threatens you by telling you that if you don't do this right, you're going to get a D or an F. Your friends threaten you. They say, you know, you better do what we say or we're not going to be your friend anymore. We're not going to, you know. So that's intimidation of various ways. The obvious example would be a dictator who, you know, if you don't toe the line, I mean, the worst is they shoot you right on the spot. But they might also shoot your neighbor right in front of you and say, you're next. I mean, that would be intimidation because obviously if they shoot you, you don't have to worry about this problem. So anyway, but that's how much of the world is still run, through intimidation and fear. And it throws people out of their center, and they give up energy. Their chakras start spinning backwards, faster. Okay. Seduction or flattery will also do the same thing. It will take you out of your center if you succumb to it. The same is true of intimidation. Obviously, if you're not intimidated, I don't know, let's say someone threatens you physically, but you're a super black belt karate, plus you're carrying a few guns, you might just sit there and laugh at them. Well, then that won't do it. So obviously it's your response. Seduction, same thing. And again, it's not only sexual seduction. It's the politician seduces by telling you that elect me and I'll give you free health care. The seduction is always a lie. You know, there's no such thing as free health care, but people want to hear it. Free drugs for the seniors, whatever it is. Flattery. You know, easy. There's simply this compliments, but it's easy to get it out of hand. And then you get taken out of your center. You know, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. When you shouldn't. The teachers seduce with all kinds of things. You know, you'll get an A+ on your test. I'll put you on the honor roll. You'll get a little star next to your name. Friends, of course, can be very seductive. You know, if you'll do this, well, gee, you know, I'll take you here and I'll pay for this and whatever it is. So it happens all over the place, everywhere. And this is how the world works, is this way of upsetting other people. Okay. And by the way, it happens very much in families. There's plenty of intimidation and there's plenty of seduction, all the little rewards and all that kind of stuff. And so it's all over the place. Now, the next topic is, what do we do about it? I'm going to list 6 things. First, you want to stay strong. It never hurts to be strong. The stronger you are, the more centered you can remain, the better you will handle this. You can't avoid it. You can't avoid it completely. So to stay strong, we're talking about a wholesome diet, healthful lifestyle, plenty of rest, drinking pure water, being in a clean, wholesome environment. Very easy to upset people when they're already sort of off balance because the environment's noisy or dirty, that kind of thing. I mean, I think of like the city streets of a ghetto or something. You know, it's already a kind of a scary place where you're kind of kept off center. And actually, you know, the people who survive the ghetto, they often end up pretty centered because that's the only way you survive. By the way, if you give up energy only, you usually die pretty young. So most people do learn how to vampirize to sort of balance things out. The trouble is that the energy that you get from other people is not a good energy. And so that's another problem with the vamp. It's a problem for the vampire. No, it's not just a simple exchange of energy. The energy that you get from another person, it's not your energy. It's not on your frequency. But almost everybody learns to vampirize a little bit because if you're just a victim, those are the children who end up with leukemia and suddenly die, or the young people who die very young, whatever. That's what happens. Okay, so diet, lifestyle, environment. Keep it strong and healthy. Breathe. This is important because breathing helps regulate the chakras, balance them out, even them out, keep them spinning correctly. So breathing is very important. Another one is to live in the present. If you live in the present, you generally are fine. And one of the tactics of the intimidator or the seducer is to take you out of the present. Either remind you of something that happened in the past, which was upsetting, or create fear or an anxiety which has to do with the future. You know, most fear and anxiety has to do with the future. Guilt, remorse, those have to do with the past. And so most of the upset happens in those two. And if you can stay in the present moment, you do not succumb nearly as much to this phenomenon. Okay, then there are techniques to spin your chakras correctly, spin them forward. There are some therapies that help to move the energy in the body, things like Jin Shin Jitsu and Tai Chi and acupuncture and acupressure. Foot massage is excellent, foot reflexology. Yoga, body work, these things can help. They're not that powerful, but they can help. They all can help you move along. There's a simple exercise, which is the old tantric thing called the microcosmic orbit, and then there's the macrocosmic orbit, where you spin, you visualize a field going up your back, down your front, a flow of energy, up your back, down your front, sort of like a bicycle chain, because it's kind of shaped that way. And if you do that a lot, now I can tell you from working on it that in the beginning it's kind of awkward, it just doesn't feel right, probably because those chakras aren't spinning correctly, and so it's kind of unusual, but it gets easier with practice, and this can help. Then there's meditation. Another thing is meditation. Meditation, the right kind of meditation, a dual focus exercise, there's one that I recommend. I learned it from a fellow named Roy Masters. There are a few others like it. Some of the Zen and the Vipassana are like it.
The dual focus exercise detaches you. That's the specific purpose. It's not to cure anything, make you enlightened, take you any place. You know, all it does is detach you. And as you detach, you see much more clearly. And so often you are able to, first of all, you get, by seeing clearly detached, you get to see your own stuff and you process things faster, your own, you know, biases and traumas. And then you begin to see other people's stuff and you begin to see their little maneuvers and their little vampire maneuvers. And this really is a sort of an antidote. It won't fix the problem because there's some people who are just really subtle about it. And you have to watch it because there's no set rules. There are people who seem very nice, you know, but they're not. There are people who seem like they're a bit harsh or mean, but actually they're doing something good for you. So the discernment has to grow and the meditation helps. Spiritual development, though, is probably the single best way to grow your discernment. And that's the diet and the lifestyle and the environment and living in the present moment. But those are very important. Okay. Another way to help with the vampire issue is to shift your thinking and to work on becoming happy. Just enjoy all the time. Why does that do it? Well, because you will find that the vampire types, generally speaking, they have a sort of edge to things. They're not happy. They're insistent. They're urging. They're sad. They're depressed. They're lonely. You know, they're a little angry. That's part of the pattern. That's how the ego works. The ego mind is not the blissed out mind, if you know what I mean. It's more the sort of unhappy, discontent, you know, I want this, I want that. And so if you're in this sort of happy state and really work on yourself to do this, you can't fake it, but you can read A Course in Miracles, you can listen to these tapes that I recommend that are sold by the Shanti Cristo Foundation, that are channelings from Jesus, similar to A Course in Miracles, but easier to understand. If you do that enough, then when you're approached by these other people, your guard is up automatically because you know there's some edge to it. I just read something by Neil Donald Walsh, who did the Conversations with God. And, you know, because I'm trained, because I read The Course in Miracles, I'm aware of this, but so many people are sucked in by this fellow. What he's saying is, you know, first of all, he claims to be a spiritual teacher and he's trying to produce peace on earth, but the whole thing is just pure unmitigated anger. You know, he says those horrible soldiers tortured the prisoners and a horrible president did this, and can you believe what our corporations did? I mean, and he's a spiritual teacher and he's got 5 books on the New York Times bestseller list. So if you really understand the principles, then you don't blame others, you take responsibility, and anger is not part of your, you know, your repertoire. So reading and working on your own thinking helps you to be much less vulnerable. And then certainly when you're first starting out with this, and actually any time I should say, but particularly if you're feeling vulnerable, you stay away. You just get away from these people, because until you really understand the process and master it, you won't overcome it. It's foolish to stay in a relationship or a job or even a friendship if this is going on. Now, there may be times when you want to stay for some reason. I once worked with a man and I did like learning from him. And what I did is I limited my time, strictly limited it, because I found that no matter how much I enjoyed the work, I found that after a couple hours I would be exhausted. And so I knew there was something going on, and I consciously limited it because I had a specific goal in mind. That would be the only circumstance I can imagine where you'd want to stay in a situation, unless it's a family situation where there's no alternative. Children, unfortunately, don't have many alternatives that way with their parents.
There is no area where the vampire phenomena occurs more and has more important consequences than in the sexual arena, in relationships, intimate relationships. In fact, this vampire stuff is the hidden energetics behind most of the psychology of relationships that is really never talked about, and instead people go to counselors and discuss, well, he did that and she did this and I don't understand this, not realizing that the incompatibility of the chakras is responsible, and not only simple incompatibility like the spin direction, but many subtle factors are responsible for the discord in relationships. Now, the reason it's so powerful is a couple of reasons. One, just the closeness of the bodies causes what you might call direct induction of the chakras. The chakras are these spinning vortices of energy, and it works like a transformer, an electrical transformer, where you have two coils of wire that are not connected electrically. There's an airspace between them, or just the insulation on the wire. But if you put a current in one of the wires, one set, it causes a current, it induces a current in the other. And that's exactly what happens with intimate relationships. A more direct analogy, if someone happens to know how a car transmission works, the automatic transmission, it's got two plates in it, two discs with fins on them. And one of them is connected to the wheels, and one is connected to the motor. And they're sort of opposite each other, and there's a fluid in there, transmission fluid. And when you spin one, when the motor spins, it makes the wheels spin, it makes the other discs spin. And so when the bodies are close, they interact, the chakras interact more. Also, another reason why it's so powerful is that the male-female differences. Normally, men and women's chakras spin in opposite directions. Also, normally, the energy flows either inward or outward in opposite chakras on the men and the women. Also, other qualities tend to be sort of opposite and complementary, which means that there is such a thing to the complementariness of relationships, and there is a possibility for really wonderful things to happen. But because there are a lot of possibilities for imbalances, it also can cause a lot of frustration when it doesn't work out. A third reason why it's so important and powerful is the orgasm actually causes the chakras to get bigger, especially women, and to spin faster, and especially in women. And so it enhances the effect of the interaction, and a sexual encounter will affect women in particular for 2 to 3 weeks on a chakra level. The fourth reason they're so powerful is there's a lot of deception in relationships. And what I mean by that is that words like love and romance and what I need and what you need and psychological, emotional kind of, reasons for the relationship, these all get in the way. If you just, interact with someone, standing next to him on a street corner or an elevator, there isn't that much expectation and other stuff going on. But in a relationship, especially if it's a formal one like a marriage, there's a lot. And so this masks and covers up all the energetics, which otherwise, if the person was a stranger, you would be more inclined to be listening for and looking for and watching out for, so to speak. Like, this person is supposed to love me, and look what's happening. Well, yes, on an intellectual level, they may love you or whatever, but that has nothing to do with the energetics, actually. It's very confusing. any family situation or any kind of love situation, because the energetics are independent. A fifth reason why it's so powerful is that there are family needs and limitations that make it more difficult. It's really hard to escape, for example, especially for a child, for example, but even for a husband and wife, it's very hard to escape the energetics, which is much easier to sort of walk away from or avoid if in other situations. There's no real defense except avoidance, and that's not so easy. Another reason is that we spoke earlier that the way that the energetic transfer of energy occurs is through either seduction or intimidation. And the sexual arena is one in which nature has set it up that men, in particular, are very easily affected by women. Now, this is all designed, you know, to reproduce the species. But the fact is, and women learn this, unfortunately, they learn it very young often, that just by a smile, a wink, certainly the way they dress, the way they walk, the way they hold their bodies, they can upset a man. Now, when I say upset, I mean in the sense of take him out of his center. In other words, that would be, you know, sexual attraction. And so men actually are quite easily to influence this way. The men don't understand it any more than the women do. But what happens to men is that they become angry because they're not in control of it. It's what you might call imprinting. And it's a sort of an instinctual sexual thing, and it makes the men vulnerable, and it gives power to women. And the women, many women use it, unfortunately. In other words, they think, well, it's just normal. That's the way guys are. And if you want something, you dress a certain way and you look a certain way. And, you know, that's just the way the world is. Well, that's true, but it's still manipulation. They're still manipulating men, and men are very easy to manipulate that way in the sexual arena. And what happens is that all kinds of things can happen. It can backfire. The men can become angry. Some men become wimpy, the sort of henpecked husbands. Others become angry. Some become violent. Some turn off and sort of disappear in the relationship, meaning emotionally, because they realize that they are at some kind of a disadvantage, some kind of a loss. Something's going on that they don't understand. I have certainly experienced this myself. And I think any honest man will tell you the same thing. And actually, any honest, mature woman will tell you that, yes, men are kind of weak in general. And if a woman knows what she's doing, she can get her way. It's not good for the woman necessarily, but it is the way it is. So that also makes the sexual arena a very powerful one. Now, in this arena, the energy level means the most. That is to say, the strong one usually wins in this vampire business, the direct chakra induction. The weak one, often gets sick, depressed at least, ill, may die. It happens all the time in intimate relationships. People just can't understand it. They were such a loving couple, whatever. Or there may be an uneasy truce called, but it's basically the stronger, in other words, you have these two spinning vortexes, say, of one of the chakras. The one that's spinning the hardest is going to influence the one that is weaker. There are several outcomes. Now, I want to discuss a couple, because this is so important, a couple of the scenarios. In accordance with what we spoke of earlier, both people can have their chakras spinning backward in a relationship. And this is the most common. In this case, often the sexual relationship will be good. They will have a good time because the chakras, because men and women are opposite, if they're both spinning backwards, they will reinforce each other and they will make each other spin backwards faster. So they will feel like, yeah, we get along. We're good together. It feels good together. Energetically speaking, they fit together, sort of like gears that mesh. And this is very common. Now, the problem with that relationship is there is no development. There is no spiritual development. Because as long as the chakras are spinning backward, one is in that ego state, and it's actually a dying state, and one does not develop etherically and spiritually. In fact, that kind of relationship is anti-development, because it feels good, and if one of the partners sort of wakes up spiritually, you know, begins to change, and his or her chakras turn around, all of a sudden there's a problem in the relationship. And the result is that unless one is strong, one will tend to shy away from that. One will say, I don't know, every time I go and meditate or read these kind of books and then I'm with my husband, you know, it doesn't feel as good and I don't understand what it is. I start feeling good reading, but then, you know, or he doesn't like it or something like that. So in fact, that kind of relationship is anti-development. Usually, by the way, it is the weaker person who starts developing first. The reason for that is that if you're a stronger partner, you're usually, how can I say it? You're usually enjoying life more, happier, just doing fine, and you have less incentive to wake up. The weaker one usually is a little more discontent with life in general, and also the more spiritually evolved types, or the more spiritual potential one has, they tend to be more discontent, little bit weaker because they've had more trauma dealing with the world, if that makes sense. And so usually it's the weaker person who starts developing first. Contact, sexual contact particularly, but even being in the same house, pushes the developing person back into their former backward-spinning state, and they're going to become weaker, or they may become angry. They may think that their husband or wife is, quote, doing something to them or hurting them or trying to make them feel bad. All of a sudden, that's what comes up, when really it's not that at all. It's not that at all, and that's so important to stay out of that anger and defensiveness and all that. That's why this material is valuable. Now, and they'll get held back if they stay in that relationship. Or they'll get very depressed. Well, first they'll get very depressed, and then they may get ill, if that's the case. Now, if the stronger one develops first, he or she will pull the other partner along toward development. In other words, if the stronger partner, say one of the two of the chakras, turn around and start to spin correctly, then in a sexual contact, the other partner will be pulled along. The other partner's chakra will also start to spin correctly. If the other partner is ready to move, to really go, this can be very good. However, if the other partner is not ready, and even if the other partner is ready, it may feel a little uncomfortable. They may not know what's going on here exactly. But if they're not ready, then the other partner will run away, either emotionally or sexually, and it will cause problems in the relationship. The other situation is if both partners spin positively. In this case, you're more likely to have a happy, uplifting, spiritually promoting relationship. And these are the great love affairs of history, you know, Cleopatra, whatever you read about, that are people who, the partners basically are working as a team, they're acting as a team, they help keep each other on track, because say one partner, something happens, and that translates energetically into one of the person's chakras starts to maybe spin backwards again or slow down. Well, then when they come together, that will be corrected. So that's how it works. And they keep each other healthy too, because when your chakras are spinning correctly and opening, you feel good. And if something should happen health-wise that would make one partner start to spin backwards again, then contact with the other partner would correct that, would tend to help correct that and help restore health. So that's that. The two spinning positive is the most likely to be helpful. Although there are other qualities, it's not just the spin. I've used that as an example. But it also has to do with the size of the chakras, the intensity of the spin, the color, the shape, and other aspects. And this is why even just two people with similar spins, that's not enough to be compatible. There's something called resonance, which has to do with the alignment of the chakras up and down the spine. And that'll also cause discord in relationships. So there are other factors, but at least when they're both spinning positive, you can imagine that they're acting more like, it's sort of more of teamwork. So these are some examples of how the different energetics works in the in intimate relationships, and the energetic aspect of all close relationships, particularly sexual, but even just living in the same household, working in the same environment, close environment, that sort of thing. Okay. Now, there are a number of outcomes because of these energetics, and I'll just go through some of those. First of all, what I'm talking about now is extremely important and is the cause of a surprising amount of illness, both mental illness and physical illness. A good deal of all illness has to do with improper matching of the energetic spinning of the chakras with another person in relationships. One of the outcomes, therefore, is that somebody gets sick. Another one, and it's hard because the other partner is actually gaining energy often and just doesn't get it, you know. They're having a good time usually. The one who is being the vampire thinks that everything's okay. The other partner thinks that everything's not okay. And so they may go for counseling, and it's very hard to convince the one that's actually getting some energy that there's a problem, because energetically they feel fine. They're in good shape. Okay. Another outcome is that one, of course, will leave. A relationship will end. This can be, difficult, but it's often the best solution for spiritual development. It is the best solution, because, as we said earlier, in this vampire phenomena, until you're very advanced, you cannot really avoid the problem. In other words, you can't fix the problem. The best thing is to get out of the situation if you're in a vampire situation, whether it's at work or at school or in a relationship. Another common outcome is an uneasy truce. This is where people are sort of putting on a nice front that they're a happily married couple, but underneath it's really not. And the sexual part certainly may suffer, but the whole relationship suffers. This is an unhealthy solution. There may be times when it's, you know, needed or whatever, but it's unhealthy, and it usually leads to depression and often worse illness. Another outcome is fighting. Because everything I'm saying is hidden, it cannot be explained rationally. In other words, even going to counselors, you can't say, well, if only he would do this, and if only she would be more like that. It just doesn't tend to work very well. And so people fight. And it's sort of pointless, and unfortunately the counseling can do something, but it's usually about coping. It will not solve the problem, and it will not address the cause most of the time. Unless it's a spiritual counselor and you can
get people to develop, but that's not very common. Now, another solution is for the partner to develop oneself. And that's a wonderful solution. It's not an easy one, especially when you're in the relationship. It usually will improve things. Now, the way it will improve things is it might fix the relationship, or it might lead to the end of the relationship, if that makes sense. It also might help one to be okay to be alone, because many people are in relationships, even though they claim it's because they're in love or because they, you know, they want things. The real reason is simply out of fear of being by themselves. And that's the wrong reason for being in a relationship. Although many people start out that way, and it can change. But that's one way would be not... So development can have excellent effects. Now, some people, the other outcome that happens is some people become promiscuous. They feel that, well, there's something wrong with them, or there's something wrong with the partner, and that if there was just another person, that then it would be okay. That this, you know, and so they go from, you know, person to person, looking for some magic something. And while there is a remote chance that they might find someone more energetically compatible, it's very, very unlikely, and it's damaging, because each person that you are with, you are being influenced by all their chakras and all their stuff, all their issues, and going from person to person is very draining, especially for women, who are generally the more aware of the two. Also, although this tape doesn't go into tantric principles, tantric practice, the correct sexual practice, the Lemurian tantric, requires getting to know the person, and it won't happen quickly. And so just sort of trying people is usually futile. Another answer for some people is homosexuality. This usually doesn't work too well either, but it is another possibility. Okay. A few conclusions here. The vampire issue is part of the food chain, and it is everywhere. It cannot be avoided. It can be minimized through lifestyle, you know, healthful diet, staying strong, staying happy, staying healthy. It's something that affects us from the time we're born, immediately. And it does have to do with the construction of the ego. The ego self is often a defense against the energy sucking qualities of adults in the world. It's very hard to fix except through spiritual development. It cannot be fixed through friendships, marriages, signing papers, telling someone that you love them, and all that. You do get a lot of help from unseen friends, guides, who want to help everyone develop. And there is a positive side to vampirism, which is that it can push you to develop yourself. You can realize that there's something wrong, and you can become so unhappy, because it usually takes a certain amount of unhappiness to give up the ego life, you know, the superficial life of where are we going for vacation, and what's for dinner, and what's the movie tonight, and that sort of thing. So there's a positive side to this, which is that it can help you elevate beyond that life. Another conclusion is we need to avoid judging people by superficial qualities, because there's so much going on underneath that we're not aware of. I don't know if earlier on the tape I mentioned Barbara Brennan's book, Hands of Light, where she has pictures of what the energy interactions look like, what people's energy field looks like. Some people it looks like tentacles coming out. Other people it sort of looks like a funnel, like they're sucking things in. Other people kind of looks like porcupine needles. And as you get more sensitive, you can actually sort of feel that about people's field. So there's so much going on that is unseen. And instead, it's good to go slowly, listen to your gut feelings, feel your way, and not get, definitely watch out for the intellect and for the senses, you know, the hormones and the, all that kind of stuff. Because that will tend to mislead you almost always. And this applies not only in sexual relationships, but in all situations, to feel your way. A very good idea is to live in the present, because much of the way the energy transfer works with intimidation or seduction takes you out of the present moment. For example, guilt and remorse are in the past. Fear and anxiety, you tend to be in the future. You're thinking about some future event. So many of the tactics of manipulation pull one out of the present. For example, making someone feel guilty. If you love me, you will do this. Well, that's designed to make one feel guilty, and that tends to pull one out of the present into the past. Or you'll be sorry. Well, that's actually tending to pull you out of the present into the future. Certainly anything that is intimidation or produces fear or anxiety pulls you out of the present and into the future. So if you can stay in the present moment, and there are ways to do this, certainly meditation helps. The practice of meditation or being conscious, even eating consciously, walking consciously, you will tend to stay in the present, stay focused. Then, if someone tries this on you, you will not succumb as quickly, because you'll say, oh, I'm out of my present, I'm out of the present. And then you can correct that rather than listening so much to what they're saying. Okay, another conclusion is, well, for women, you're never as innocent as you think. You're never as innocent as you think, especially attractive women, simply by the fact of being a woman. It's part of the package that you sort of can manipulate men. Not sort of. You can manipulate men, and you do, simply with your body. And it can be over the phone with your voice. In other words, there's many aspects to it. Gestures, dress. I always know when I'm around an unaware woman because of the way they dress and they flirt and do things, not with any obvious intent, just the style. So that's something that women need to know and watch out for. Many times the unattractive women are happier. Don't know if you've observed that. Their marriages are often better and so forth. And one reason is because they can't manipulate as well. So they learn not to do that. They have to go on their sort of own merits. They can't go on their the physical stuff, the sexual stuff. Men need to wake up. Men need to know that there is a biological mechanism to reproduce the species that pulls them out of their center and causes energy to be drawn from them to women. As a, you know, for the purpose of getting them to mate and reproduce the species. And that this is just a biological thing, and the woman is not necessarily doing anything to you. It's just the way it works. So it's important not to blame women, certainly not to take revenge, not to get angry when this starts happening, because it is part of the biological mechanism. Men can become more resistant to this type of energy vampirism by getting over the obsession with women's body parts and attraction, repulsion, and who's great and who's not, and all this kind of thing
that many men are obsessed with. So that is an area for men, all men, need to work on. A final conclusion is to be joyful and content and happy. Make every effort to do this, because vampires do not like people who are content and happy. People who are content are much less easily intimidated, threatened, flattered, seduced, or otherwise drawn out of their center. So by working with yourself, your lifestyle, diet, uplifting, inspiring books, people, friends, keep yourself in a state of joy.